Okay, we're up to Perek Nun Zayin Pasik Yud. Now these next psukim, they are returning back to an old theme, a theme which appeared, which was discussed in great detail in the beginning of Sefer Yeshayah. And here Yeshayah comes back to review this theme again. Tsofav Ivrim Kulam Lo Yodohu. He's discussing over here the Tsofav. Tsofav refers to the seers. Those, it's another term for the prophets. Are we discussing actual prophets, good prophets, or bad prophets, or none of the above? So there are many interpretations, but basically in this context it refers to the leaders. The Jewish leaders, those that have been appointed to positions of authority in Klal Yisrael, whose goal, whose role is to give Musar and to guide and lead the Jewish people in the Derech HaYosha, in the way of Hashem, they have failed to fulfill their role. They have failed to accomplish what they have been appointed to do. The Tzofav, the seers, those who see the future coming, those that see the sins of the people, those that see what should be done, what needs to be done. Ivrim, Kulam Lo Yodohu, they're all blind. They're blind and they don't know. Kulam Kilavim Ilmim, they're dogs which are mute, which don't have the ability to bark. The purpose of a watchdog is if a ganav comes close, dog should bark and scare away the ganav. Or should, if a sheep come, a dog is there to guard sheep, and wolves come, it's there to make sound to guard them. But if the dog is an ilam, is a mute, is unable to bark, the dog is not worth anything. Lo yuchlu limboyach, they don't know how to bark. Hozim. Now, hozim is an unusual word. It does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh. Over here, it's translated to mean tardema. It goes together with the word lanum. In the end of the pasuk, it says oyhave lanum. They love to sleep. So here it also means hozim. It's a parallel to that word. It means to sleep, but it's a play on the word of chozim. A choize is a seer, just like a tzoifes, someone who gazes. There's something called the choizim. So like choizim. So here it's a play on the word of choizim to hozim. They are seers, people who are supposed to be seers and predict the future and guide the Jewish people in the correct way. They have fallen asleep. They're asleep at the switch. Right, how many times have you heard that in the news? Right, the FAA controllers are asleep when the planes are coming in. Chas v'shalom. They're hoizim shaychvim. They're sleeping. Oyavei lanum. They love to slumber. They love to sleep. Therefore, they're not doing their job. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yakalavim azei nefesh. It's worse than this. Not only are the dogs mutes, unable to bark and to warn the people of the danger that is coming, and unable to tell the people not to stop doing averos, they have chutzpah. They are azei nefesh, full of gaiva, full of chutzpah, lo yodu sava, they don't know how to satisfy themselves. The heimorayim, they pasture. In other words, they just take all the good for themselves. They're in position of leadership, and they have access to funds, to communal funds, and to the good life in the position that they find themselves, and they take advantage. They don't pay taxes, and they have all these perks and benefits, and they abuse their position, and they do not give back anything in return. They do not give musr, they do not guard the people in the correct way. They have chutzpah, lo yodu yisav, they don't know how to satisfy themselves. They pasture. They're like shepherds. They're like shepherds that are taking the food for themselves. Instead of giving the sheep to eat the food, they take it for themselves. Lo yodu havin, they don't understand anything. Kulam ludar kampana, they all go on their merry way. Ish levitza mikotseyu, levitza means profit. Unjustified profit. Robbers steal. They steal. They pocket all of the money of the community for themselves. Mikotseu means from every side. Every single last one of them is corrupt. Every politician is corrupt. These are not politicians. These, unfortunately, referring to the Jewish leaders, referring to the Rabbanim, to the Nevi'im, even the ones that had a good reputation. Here, Yeshayah is saying all of the Jewish leaders in the community, they're all corrupt. They're all ganovim. They all sleep at the switch. They're molly chutzpah. And unfortunately, Klal Yisrael is in a very, very bad situation because of the leaders. And then we also know the famous word Klal Mazim Nefesh. Chazal tells us that the acts of the Mashiach Chutz B'Yaskei. The time of Mashiach, Chutzpah will prevail. And the Gemara also says that the leaders will be Pnei HaDar Ki Pnei HaKelef. The leaders of the Dar will be like dogs. Tuma Morei Chazal. Pnei HaDar Ki Pnei HaKelef. And chutz b'yaskei. So, no. This simply, according to the simple interpretations, referring to time that Yeshaya is living in his generation. That's the simple. But of course, there are many layers of interpretation, and it can very well be interpreted other generations. I mean, the previous psukim. Chas v'shalom, you can't say that. There's always many layers of interpretation. There's no such thing as pure good, and there's no such thing as pure evil. There's always room for improvement. You can go look at any generation, you can say, on one hand, there were never such great tzaddikim. And it's true, every generation has milos that no other generation ever had. And every generation has chesronos, that no other challenges. So they're both true. You could always find corruption, but yet there's always miles. Yeshaya here is coming to super magnify chesronos that are found simply in his generation. He lived over a very long period of time. He died. He was 120 years old when he died. He said prophecy for 86 years. Yeshaya said prophecy for 86 years. He lived to four kings. The first pasuk in Yeshaya, Yeshaya ben Amoz Asher Chazar b'mei Uziyahu Yosam. What's the first pasuk? I'm embarrassed. I never know it by heart. I should know at least the first pasuk by heart. Chazoyin Yeshaya ben Amoz Asher Chazar al Yudav Yishlam b'mei Uziyahu Yosam Ochaz Yechizkiya Malchei Yudah. Four major kings. Okay, Uzio and Yosam, they were a team. That was Uzio was a. These are all four very, very powerful kings. They weren't like just like, you know, Lahavdil, Elif, Alfdil, like these Roman emperors. That every 5 weeks, every few days, so they were poisoned and so on, and they were gone. These were significant kings that lasted a long period of time and made their mark on society, and they were very different segments of different types of people during these periods of time. And Yeshaya said who during these periods of time, so therefore they were all true. But the point I want to make over here is, this little drush, is that we have two independent Maamari Chazal. One Maamar Chazal tells us that B'iksu de B'shicha Chutzpah Yaskei. Chutzpah will prevail. People will do things that are outrageous. On the other hand, we have another Maamar Chazal that says that B'iksu de B'shicha, another very negative chazal, the Pnei Hadar will be Kepnei HaKelef. In this one pasuk, it's telling us that these two ideas are not independent ideas, they're one in the same, they're two sides of the same coin. Because it says here they are dogs, they're all like dogs which are mute, they don't have the ability to speak, and they're dogs of chutzpah. The HaKlavim Azei Nefesh. So it's an incredible idea, is that who has the chutzpah? B'iksa the Mashiach Chutzpah Yaskei. So how do you simply translate that? You don't necessarily attribute it to the leaders. You learn the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Chutz b'yaskei. The kids, like that's what they say. The children today, you know, in the secular society, they're children that talk to call their parents by their first name, and it's acceptable. It's acceptable. This is we're modern. You know, we're cultured. And we're modern people. Chutz b'yaskei. There's no difference. You know, there's no difference between child and the father. So that's how you simply interpret this Maamar Chazal, Chutz B'Yaskei, the simple people. And then there's another concept, that the leaders, the Pnei Hador, the face of the generation, Kipnei HaKelev, are like dogs. So there's a chesaron in the leaders, and there's a chesaron in the followers. And this pasuk, it's putting the two together. The ones that have the chutzpah are the leaders. Here, we're clearly referring to the leaders. We're calling them dogs. And what kind of dogs? Dogs that don't know how to give mussar. They don't know how to bark. They don't know how to warn the people that you're in a lot of trouble. Watch out. Because of your sins, a churban is coming. And furthermore, he goes on to say, these dogs love to eat and live the good life and abuse and scoop off the cream from the milk and take it all for themselves. and they have chutzpah. V'aklavim azay nefesh lo yadu sava. They don't know how to keep the status of themselves. V'hem agayim lo yadu havin kulam l'akapanu each levitza. So each one is corrupt. Each one seeks out profit. Mikatzeu, from end to end, from corner to corner, there is not even one good person. So the leaders are the ones that have chutzpah. It's a whole new insight into these two Mamari Chazal when you look at this Pasuk. Okay, Pasuk Yudbeis. Now, what do these leaders say to each other? What do the politicians say to each other? Esayu, come. Esayu means to come. Ekhoyayin, take for yourself some delicious wine. Vinisbe'a sheikha. Nisba means to drink, become intoxicated. Shichrus, the Mitzudos Tzion says the word v'nisba means become a shichrus, intoxicated. But ben soyer umoyre, 2 weeks from now, parashas kiseitze, right? First comes shoftim and kiseitze. We have to still get through a, not so quick, 3 weeks from now. So we have ben soyer umoyre. So zoylel v'sovei, take for yourself wine, v'nisba, become drunk, v'nisba sheikha, become drunk with sheikha, intoxicating beverage, v'hoya kezei yoy machar, and don't worry, it'll be like this tomorrow. Godol yeser, and tomorrow will be even greater. It will be like this tomorrow. We'll have tomorrow also some delicious wine and some intoxicating beverage. But guess what? Tomorrow we'll have even more. Things are only going to get better and better and better. A typical politician. I told you the joke a couple of weeks ago. The joke when a person comes to Shemayim and they say to him, "No, you're equal. You have a choice. You can go to Gehenna or Gan Eden. You choose. Where do you want to go?" He says, "Let me see them both." So he goes to Gan Eden. Everyone is very spiritual. The Malachim, and they're singing Shira. They're saying Shiurim, Daf Yom Yishurim the whole day. So let me see Gehenim. He goes down to Gehenim, goes down the elevator, he comes down. It's gorgeous. There's food. It's unbelievable. It's like a hotel, 5-star hotel. All of the benefit. So he comes to back and he says, "You know, I never thought I would say this, but I'll take Gehenim. I'll take Gehenim." And but they say, "You know, if you take a hand, that's it. There's no going back. You can't, there's no. So it's all right. I'll take a hand." And comes down to Gehenna, and it's a wasteland. It's a desert. There's starvation. There's no food. There's no clothing. There's no parnasa. There's nothing to eat. And he looks at all the people. "Yesterday you were all dressed such beautiful clothing, and you put out for me such a beautiful spread. What happened?" He says, "Oh, yesterday you came here. We were campaigning. We were in the campaign mode yesterday to convince you to vote for us. Now that the election is over, the campaign is over, this is the world of reality. Welcome to Gehenna." So it's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk. Here we're dealing with the leaders. We're comparing the leaders to these corrupt politicians, and they're asleep at the controls, and they just take all of the good and the benefits of society for themselves, and they don't know how to do anything good for society, and they tell you it's one thing that they're asleep at the controls and they steal and they're corrupt, but how dare they tell you, "Don't worry, everything is fine and good, and tomorrow it's going to get better and better." Exactly what it says here in Pasuk Yudbeis. So you come, ekhoyayin, take wine, v'nisba sheikhar, and drink intoxicating beverage, and don't worry, v'hoyo chazei yoy mochar. Tomorrow it's going to be the same good life. And guess what? Godol yeser me'od. It's going to be even better tomorrow. This should be the slogan of all the politicians for the election, right? Just take this Pasuk and put it on the banner. The real ones, not the ones.
They promised that, they don't.
And they fulfilled.
They don't keep what they told.
So this is a very interesting thing. Now we come to Pasuk Nun Zayin. Pasuk Nun Zayin is scary stuff. Hatzadik, now going to simply a new theme. A new theme over here, we're discussing that Churban is about to come. Yishai is describing because in his lifetime it appears, or he's referring to some point in the future, and all of a sudden, Hatzadik Ovat. A tzadik dies before his time. A very great man dies very young. And people have, and the Eini, so what should people do when this happens? Rahman, someone is a tsar, and someone dies before their time. People should use that as a time to make a cheshbon hanefesh. Mo Hashem Elokecha Doirei Shmeimach. Why did this happen? What have we done? Why did an unnatural event like this happen? But the ein ish sam aleh, that's the biggest korban. Something terrible happens, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to wake us up, no one pays attention, no one picks up the signal. The anshei chesed ne'esafim, so the pasuk goes further. So if Hashem says even one tzaddik it's not enough, I'm going to have to wake you up with even a greater wake up call. I'm going to have to cause that a group of people, anshei is b'loshon rabim, not one, now it's going to be a number of tzaddikim ne'esafim will die. But be'ein mevin, no one gets it. No one still understands the reason why such a tragedy, Rachmanu Litzlan, has happened. And Hashem says, you know why I'm doing this now? The reason why I'm doing this is because Ki mibnei hara'ah ne'esaf hatzadik, because you are such terrible sinners and you're not paying attention to the signal and you're not going to do tshuva, I have no choice but to bring upon Klal Yisrael a korban. And this korban is going to be a lot of suffering. And I don't want the righteous to suffer. Therefore, I'm going to first gather in, take the lives of the tzaddikim before their time. They should not witness the horrible korban that's going to come and witness the terrible suffering. They said about different certain tzaddikim that they died before the Holocaust, before the terrible horrors happened. B'bnei hara'ah, it's a very common expression. B'bnei hara'ah nesaf hatzaddik, before what comes later, people look back in retrospect, terrible things happen, and this person, he died before that period of time, he was spared to witness such a terrible thing occur. They say this about, the first one they say this about was about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu died 5 years early. Why did he die 5 years early? Not to see his grandson Esav Yotzei L'Tarbusra. It would be such a great tsar for Avram to see his grandson Esav become what he became. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him in early. Now, it's a very big chiddush for us, because can you imagine what Avram Avinu could have accomplished in those 5 years? But yet, the B'nei HaRa'ah, because of the Ra'ah that was coming, Nesaf HaTzadik, the Tzadik was gathered in, was taken away, left the world prematurely. Pasuk Beis. Now, Pasuk Beis, yeah? Chanoch, Hisalech Lefnei Elokim, because there is a medrash that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that he would become, he himself would sin. So Kadosh Baruch Hu took him before he would, that's another type of medrash. They say that about different individuals. That sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that a person, he's beginning to become sour. He's a very great tzaddik, and unfortunately, people are always looking to improve, innovate, and sometimes a tzaddik can go a little bit off. So sometimes you have this idea by Chanoch. I'm not exactly sure if it's that, because it says by Chanoch, but you have this idea that it does say by tzaddik. Well, the Shvach Hu takes them before their time in order that they should remain, they should die a pure tzaddik. We don't know exactly what that means, because once a person is a tzaddik, it's not very likely that.
Yeah. The term premature.
I have no idea what it means. We don't know what it means. It means that, let's say, a person was meant to live 80 years, and he dies when he's 70 years old. He's meant to live certainly a lot less than that. Who does a person know what a set time is? When can you say about a person that he died prematurely? That means he was meant to live longer. How do you know he was meant to live longer? When Hashem put him in this world, he was only meant to live a certain. He had a tafkid. His neshama came from a certain place, whatever this means. It was only meant to be for a certain period of time. He accomplished what he's here for, and he left. So it's, he didn't leave early. So how do you know? You don't know. You don't know.
There were several great leaders in Europe that died right before Chicago, from Leibowitz, Chaim. They all died within a 7 or 8 year period. Do we attribute that they Hashem didn't want them to experience the heart?
I don't know the answer. I don't know if we have the ability to answer that question. I don't know if there's anyone today that's on a spiritual level that can answer, but the fact that it says it in this pasuk indicates that there is some truth to it, and perhaps in the previous generations there were people that can tell us when this is true and when it's not true, or when it can be applied and when it cannot be applied. Today, I'm not aware, or maybe there are great people out there, but I'm not aware that there are people that you can go to and they can tell you the workings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In previous generations, there were people, they were very holy people that can not only tell you what's going on, they can do things for you.
Well, the question is coming.
They can solve your problems.
Every time, unfortunately, Rav Stein from Telus, this one, every time a tzaddik dies, we have to question what...
I don't know. You know, they said Rav Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv was different. He was 102 years old. So 102, it's pretty good, you know? It's not bad, 102 years old. But yet... I don't know how to deal with it. There is a balance. But yet the fact is, when a tzaddik dies, no matter what, even if he's 102 years old, it's a time of din. It's a harsh period of time that a person has to die. And Chazal say, Nisa tzaddikim is kisreifas beis Elokeinu. Oh, but he was 102 years old, so what more could you possibly expect? Go tell his mother, when he was 102 years old, imagine, tell a mother, Mazel Tov. The doctor says to the mother, Mazel Tov, you had a baby boy, a healthy baby boy, he's fine, everything's okay, and guess what? I can guarantee you he'll live to the ripe old age of 102. So the mother will be elated. What mother wouldn't want to hear that? So why is Klal Yisrael mourning 102 years old that a person dies? Because I don't know. I have a good answer, but listen to some of these Hasbedim, some of these Josh, they'll touch upon this. They touch upon this. So what? Just because a person is 102 years old, it doesn't take away from Mamari Chazal that when you come to a tkufa, when a tzaddik is nezav, or the pasuk over here says, Misa tzaddikim is kisreifa space elokeinu. It's a time of din, it's a time of cheshvan nefesh, it's a time to look into yourself and do tshuva. There's a balance. I don't know the answer. It's a very difficult thing to grapple. And you could say the same thing about every person, even the young person, Rachman Son, who dies, because you don't know what Hashem had in mind for this person, why he left the world at this point in time. It's just, obviously, it's much harder for us to deal with because it's just, in our eyes, it's a much greater tragedy. I remember someone told me they went to a Levaya, and the person was about 90, 95 years old, and no one was too upset because, you know, 95 years old, the person lived a good life. He lived a good life. He was healthy pretty much to the very, very end. And he was nifter. Okay, so, I mean, what more do you want? So Rav got up and he says, I'm very disturbed that no one here is really upset that he died. He says to the Olam, he says, Rabbeisai, was he chayiv misa? I mean, it's a crazy Hesped. Who talked like this by Hesped? They will throw you out of Rabbanis in 2 seconds. But he said to the Olam, Rabbeisai, was he chayiv misa? Did he do an Aveira? Did he do an Aveira that he was chayiv misa for? So why did he die? It's because he's 95 years old. He's chayiv misa. He was a good person. He was accomplishing things. He did chesed with other people. It's a terrible thing. Why he died? He didn't have to die. Just because he's 95 years old. They were mourning for more things in this world than just the fact that a person... Like I told you 5 times, I don't know the answer to these very, very esoteric things.
Any time, Baruch Dayan, are you met?
Correct. Let's go further. We have to go further. Pasuk Beis. Yavoi Shalom. Now this is a mystical pasuk. They come out, they don't even bring when a person dies. So who's speaking? They're speaking in Shemayim. I mean, I guess you can learn the pasuk very simply, that the Yavosh, the person, the tzaddik, that's Nesaf, will go into his grave in peace. He dies before the time of tragedy. He does not have to witness the horrible Chorban. So Yavo Shalom, he goes into his grave in peace. Yanuchu al Mishkevosam, they lie down upon their beds. They're in their beds. Hoylech Nechocho, they go Yashar. Nechocho means they go straight. They go straight without any... They lie down. I mean, it's an expression. Now it has a lot more flavor when you translate the pasuk in a more mystical, more kabbalistic interpretation, which many of the Farshim do. That it refers to the neshama. When the neshama comes to the next world, there are three malachim. One malach says, "Yavo Shalom, may you come here to Olam HaEmes in peace." The second Malach says, Yonuchu al Mishkevosam, lie down in Gan Eden in peace, whatever that means. And the third Malach says to the Neshama, Hoylech Nichocho, go in an upright fashion, go higher and higher in the Olam HaEmes. Now, what do these things mean? Honestly, we do not know. We do the Medrash word for word, Medrash Rabbah. Yavai Shalom, when we do the Medrash, Rabbi Meir Oimer, Godul Hu HaShalom. First of all, we have this idea of Shalom. Sharei Shaloi Barak HaLashbaruch Hu Mida Yofeh Yoyseh Min HaShalom. Shenidna Letzadikim Shebeshosh Shenifter Min HaOilom. When a person dies, Shalosh Kitois Shal Malachi HaShareis Yoyseh Likud Oso. Three groups of Malachim come to greet the Neshama. Umakdimim Oysoi Bisham. They all greet the new Neshama that arrives in HaOilom HaEmes with peace. Harishayna, the first group says to the new Neshama that arrives in HaEmes, Yavo Shalom. Shania, the second group, greets the neshama and says, "Yonuchu al mishkevosam, lie down in peace." The ashlishis, the third group, says, "Oimeres hoylech nechocho." Go straight. Nechocho means yosher. Go in a straight way. That's a contradiction. If the neshama has been told to lie down, that means you're not going anywhere. So what then does it mean when they tell the neshama, keep on going? So obviously we do not know how things work in that world. But in that world, when you lie down, somehow you're also in a state of movement, in a state of going. Okay, so we have over here, and then the Medrash concludes, V'lo dayin latzadikim shemisasin bidei kavod. It's not enough latzadikim, they die in honor. Shenemar kavod Hashem ye'asfecha. The honor of Hashem will gather you in. Ela shemekalsin meshama lefneim b'shalom yavo shalom. Malachim, they praise. When a person, new Hashem arrives, there is some degree of praise. So this pasuk can be learned very simply. Yavosh is referring simply back to the previous pasuk, referring to the tzaddik. You have to look at the pasuk from the perspective of the people on this world, on this side of the fence. From the perspective of the people on this side of the fence, the pasuk is telling us that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans to bring upon this world raw, something which is very evil, which appears, which would give the tzaddik a lot of tzar. We don't exactly, it doesn't have to mean it's a world war. It just means an event, a certain event which a tzaddik would personally find very disturbing. What one person finds disturbing to another person is nothing. It's totally meaningless. Every person, for whatever reason, based on his life experience, has very painful things happen, and it affects them in a very painful way. Only him, only that person. No one else even could even have a havamina that he had tzar from a certain little teeny event. But b'nei hara nesef tzaddik, and there the pasuk says, and therefore when the tzaddik goes, he goes peacefully. He left this world without the pain that would have otherwise have come upon him, and that's what the pasuk here is addressing. That's how we can interpret the pasuk from our side of the fence. And then there's the mystical interpretation of the pasuk from the other side of the fence. And that means when the neshama arrives in heaven, there are three groups of malachim which greet the neshama with these three expressions. That's a really great example of just showing you how the layers interpretation. Every single pasuk, you have so many different layers of interpretation, and here you have this one pasuk, and you can interpret it from the perspective of the living, and you can interpret it from the perspective of what's taking place in the Olam HaEmes. Yeah.
Do we see this thing anywhere else though in Tanakh? Ki b'nei hara nesef hatzadik.
Mystical
statement.
Yeah. I don't know Tanakh. I don't know.
I wonder if that's part of our Masorah.
Well, it's a pasuk here. I mean, the Psukim and Yeshaya are so basic. They're so fundamental. They're so fundamental. You know, it's like I think all the Sefer Tanakh, Yeshaya really, the Psukim are quoted probably the most from Yeshaya. And then you know you have a lot of Trei Asar is also very, very important. And then you have a lot of Eov. It's interesting. Eov also makes its way into a lot of things. But Yeshaya really stands out heads and shoulders, I feel. A lot of the Yesoidos of Yados are rooted in Psukim in Yeshaya. And you're right, it's a very major theological idea of why do bad things happen to good people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a greater plan. And that greater plan is very complicated. It's extremely complicated. There's many you know, different channels. And here is one little aspect of their greater plan.
The brethren, the tzaddikim, were being taken away so they shouldn't see.
Again, these are mystical things. Okay. Let's go back to Pasuk Dal, Pasuk Gimel. V'ata kibu heina b'nei o nino zer menof v'atizne. Now Yishai is going on a tirade. He's really getting angry now. He's speaking to the people who are sinners, people who worship the Tzar. He's not going to give it to them. He's going to tell them some. He's going to reveal some horrible sins that they do. So the first thing he says, "Come here. I want to give you people some mussar. Listen up. The atem you kirvu heina. Come close. Bnei children of onina.
What are you doing up until now?
Well, he's been doing different notes. He's been doing. You really look at the psukim. Many times he was speaking to the new nations. The first chunk of Sefer Yeshayah, he wasn't speaking much to us. I mean, the first 10 parakim he was speaking to us. Then he, for the, like the 20, 30 parakim, he was speaking to the nations of the world. Then he gave a lot of nechama. He was really speaking about the Mos HaMashiach. He spoke a ton about Chizkiyahu, all those events, and Mashiach, Chizkiyahu. Here, I think these psukim are much more hands-on. These psukim are really much more, from all of what we learned so far, is very directly focused on Bnei Yisrael, not the Umos HaOlam, the Jewish people, seemingly living in his time, and really singling out very specific sins and revealing very, very great transgressions that they have committed, very horrible sins. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, shape up. I understand you. You're making a boy desire. When he did that before, he was speaking to Klal Yisrael, right?
Right.
So there he was saying, I don't understand. Like, it's almost like he was saying, I don't understand your stupidity. You take a piece of wood, you take a piece of metal, you make this idol, you let the idol worship you. How stupid can you
right,
be?
Right, right.
Now, what is it? Hashem said, look, that didn't work. Now I'm going to get even angrier. I'm going to tell you.
Well, the different expressions. We have to remember, he spoke over 86 years. He said prophecy over 86 years. They all were in one set in one day.
So it's a new group?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's very likely it was a new group, a new place, a new time, a new tkufa, a new event. We're missing. We don't know what was happening. And if we would see the whole picture, that's a very big problem we have with these psukim and even the Gemara. Many times even the Gemara says something. I'm like, what? What does this mean exactly? Okay, so we translate it. And sometimes, if we get lucky, we get a little glimpse into some background, the history of what was going on, and then you look at the halach in terms of what was taking place in society. It opens up worlds. You have a whole new understanding. Oh, now it really makes sense. We unfortunately do galus through all the tzaras of galus. We've lost so much background information, and we look at the text. It doesn't make sense because we don't have the backup. So there's no question that it was said at different points in time in response to different events, different groups of people, different situations. But let's see what it says. V'atem kivu heina b'nei, come close to me. I want to tell you something, you people. And he insults them by calling them b'nei o nina. Onna means sorcery. Ovid, like Ovidoni, it's not the real that's not Ovidoni here, but it's Onna is a sum of witchcraft. So the Mitzudos Sion says, In Kishuf, Kamoimo Oinein Umenachesh. A magician, a person who practices sorcery and witchcraft, I don't know what these things are, but he calls them people that are magicians, and that's a form of idolatry with the Zachir of Misa. What?
This week's Sedra
we have, yeah?
Kishuf, sure.
We have this in Sedra Kishuf, okay. Zera, now he calls them, you all illegitimate. He basically calls them here all mamzerim. You all a bunch of mamzerim. Zera, you are a sin of minnoef. Minnoef means the husband. The husband, the man, is an adulterer. And vatizna, and the wife, is an adulteress. So that means that all of your children are mamzerim.
Is this legit? I mean,
literally?
It's
probably both are true. There's probably a degree of both. They're probably isolated situations where we're dealing with real mamzerim. And then there's more of an allegory which really mentions in the next pasuk where he discusses where a man is with his wife and they both think about someone else. So is that technically adultery? No. That's not technically adultery. But where are your minds? Who are you thinking about? Someone else? So that is adultery. So there's a degree of truth in both. On the one hand, he's calling them, the children are illegitimate. Technically, in halacha, are they illegitimate? No, they're not. They're kosher children, 100% kedosh mutahirim, because they come from... But the parents are doing something which resembles adultery, because that's... Why are they thinking about other people? Because they're not conducting themselves in the proper way. But it has to also be, there probably were definitely isolated situations, stories, incidents, where there was real adultery. It's the real deal. So the answer to your question is that there's a little bit of both. There's an allegory and there is reality. So first he calls them chill people, b'nei people who only focus on magic and sorcery. Zera menov, children of menov, with the man is mezane, with the tizne, with the wife is mezane. Pasuk dalet, al mi tisa nogu. Upon whom do you take delight? Do you enjoy? The almi tarchivu peh. And upon who do you want? Let's read the words of the pasuk, then we'll go and we'll translate them. Because a hard pasuk. The almi tarchivu peh. To whom? Upon whom do you widen your mouth? Tarichu lashon. Do you extend your tongue? Haloyatim. How dare you speak to me? Talk to me. Respond back to me. We'll see the mitzvahs in a moment. Haloyatim yildei fesha. You are children of sin. Zera shoker. Seed of falsehood. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk dalet in detail. Al mi me'achar sheshavtem me'olai. After you have rebelled against me, you have turned away from me, bnei Yisrael. Al mi tiftuchu. Who do you have faith in? Who are you trusting in? What kind of idols? This wood and gold, these statues. Al mi tiftuchu lehisaneg b'tovu. Who do you trust will provide you with a good life? So when it says in the pasuk, "Al mi tisanogu," you have to add a word in. You have to add the word bitochin. Al mi tiftichu lehis anogu. That's how the mitzvot translates. Many of these pasuk we learn many times are choser. You have to add words in to make sense of the pasuk. Who do you have faith in? To whom do you have faith that will provide you with a life of oneg, of delight? Ki im zechisem, because if you really would merit. Hayisem boitchem olai, you would do what's proper. You had faith upon me, upon Hashem. Aval achshav al mi tiftuchu. Next part of the pasuk according to the mitzvahs. Al mi tarchivu peh. Vel mi tishanu laharchiv peh to daven lishol kol hamachzor, to make a request. You go in front of your idols and you pour out your heart. You speak to the piece of wood, the piece of metal, and you beg the piece of metal statue. Do for me, I need this, I have a whole laundry list of needs. This is what I need from you. So who do you extend your mouth? And the next one, Tarichu Lashon, same thing, Lishol Kolatzerch, Kof Ladav, Pamayim, Mishalosh, this idea is repeated, it's repeated two or three times, B'masham, Rechadech HaNavu, because that's the way, and then he repeats the same thing he said before, that you're all a bunch of Mamzerim, you're Yaldei Pesha, you're children of sin, and you are sheker. People think that your father is so-and-so and your mother is so-and-so. That's not true. You're illegitimate. If you do a DNA test, you discover that you're not the children of who people think you are. You're just living a life of falsehood. So this is the Musar that Yeshaya is giving the Jewish people, and we'll have to stop here and continue with this continuation of the Musar on Pasuk Hei, Emir Tzah Hashem, tomorrow.